This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. U.S. and Iraqi forces say they're now in control of Fallujah after an offensive that started 12 days ago. That offensive was an effort to prepare for elections in Iraq. And one development yesterday showed both the progress that's been made and the challenges ahead. U.S. troops found what they suspect was a headquarters for Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He's the Jordanian believed responsible for the most insurgent attacks in Iraq. The challenge is that Zarqawi wasn't there, and many other insurgents are still at large in Iraq. We'll start our coverage with NPR's Tom Gelton.
The Marine general who commanded the U.S.-led offensive against Fallujah said yesterday the operation had broken the back of the Iraqi insurgents. At least 1,200 insurgents are said to have been killed in Fallujah, with another 1,000 or so captured. But Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies warns this leaves much of the Iraqi insurgency still at large.
To the extent we can count the insurgents, at most 15 to 20% of the insurgents were in the greater Fallujah area when this campaign began. As many as half of them may have left or dispersed or hidden among the population. So this is in no sense a defeat of the overall insurgent movement.
Indeed, insurgent attacks outside Fallujah have dramatically increased in the past 2 weeks. Some intelligence analysts worry the insurgents in Iraq may be even more dangerous scattered around the country than they were when they were relatively contained in Fallujah. Progress in Iraq, now as before, will depend on whether Iraqi government forces are themselves able to confront the insurgency. Their performance over the past 2 weeks has been mixed. When insurgents attacked in Mosul this week, the Iraqi police force there essentially collapsed. Jeffrey White, a former analyst at the Defense Intelligence Agency, monitors the Iraq situation now as a fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He says the Iraqi police have been on the losing end most of the time against the insurgents. Iraqi Army and National Guard units have done better, he says, though he points out in Fallujah they apparently weren't given major responsibilities.
Only clear offensive action I can see by Iraqi security units during the Fallujah fight was in the seizure of the hospital at the opening of the operation. Their other missions seem to have been secondary, helping to clear out areas that we'd already passed through, securing them, searching mosques, and so on.
White and other analysts have sympathy for the Iraqi security forces. Since Saddam Hussein's police and military force was almost entirely dismantled, the new units had to be built from scratch. They are up against an insurgency as fierce as that faced by any government anywhere. It's a challenge, White says, police and army recruits are not prepared to face.
They need some kind of elite striking capability. But what they need more than anything else is time. They need training, they need to be experienced, they need to be introduced slowly into combat in missions that won't break them, and so on. I mean, time is really a critical issue here.
The other big challenge is the holding of national elections in January in order to establish a government Iraqis will see as their own. So far, the Iraqi Shiites are generally in favor of elections. They're a majority. The minority Sunnis are resisting, and the offensive in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah has only made them more inclined to boycott. The deadline for parties to register for the election has been extended already, and still there's no sign any Sunni party is willing to participate. Some U.S. and Iraqi officials say the elections could go ahead without the Sunnis. Larry Diamond, a former political advisor to the U.S. Occupation Authority, says that would only fuel the insurgency in Iraq.
If there's a Sunni boycott, the elections fail, no matter what else happens, because there will not be a broadly inclusive government, and then the Sunnis will only have an incentive to violent resistance because they'll be shut out of the process. So I think we have to try very hard to bring the Sunnis into the electoral game.
This could take time. It may even be necessary to postpone the elections, though Diamond and others warn there's only a brief window of opportunity before Iraqis give up on the election process. So both these challenges, training the Iraqi security forces and preparing for the elections, come quickly. Anthony Cordesman gives the United States at best an even chance of getting through this next period successfully.
We have to be able to do virtually everything at once, at least moderately well, and we have to do it while we're fighting an insurgency. To say that the odds are 50-50 is no criticism of what we're doing in Iraq today. but it is a reflection of some fairly grim realities.
If the chances of success are 50-50, so are the chances of failure. But that's a prospect no one wants to consider just yet. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.